the degree that we're steady and ready to receive and ready to use it. In other words, again, as we kind of can agree, this one is always trying to think how to take advantage of the event. So, someone may point out something to us that we did wrong. They may do it very lovingly. They may do it abruptly. They may do it harshly. They may do it eagerly. Sometimes people like to show fault to someone else because then it makes them feel better. I don't have this fault, but you have this one. This fault. But the body is accepted. I'm trying to use it to take the Krishna range for me to see myself in this way so that we take advantage. It came in a way that I'm not comfortable with, but I'll see how I can grow from it. Let me see how I can grow from what I did wrong so I don't do it wrong. And let me see also how I can deal with my consciousness that caused me to be disturbed when someone was approaching me in a way that I was comfortable with. Then one grows on both levels. We avoid doing the wrong thing again, and we also raise our consciousness from being affected by feeling that not allowing the ego to be bothered. The ego is very, very unusual. It's like a test I gave the other day. We can stop the sinful action, but then deceive the sinful desire. And sometimes we stop the improper thing, but the consciousness is still self-centered. Or the consciousness is still with the ego. Or the consciousness is thinking that we're holding it. I may have made that other mistake. But look at the big mistakes you made. You know? Why are you seeing on me? I mean, I just did this little thing. And I don't mean to make that mistake, but I just made it this time. So why are you doing it? So when we have that sort of attitude, then we're not wanting to grow fast enough because the person we're pointing out with may not even go back to God. But if Krishna's arranging for someone to take to her medicine, we take advantage of it. That is the greed. Oh, I'm sick. Let me take my medicine. Let me watch that we're taking that medicine so I can take that medicine. Not that, well, some people aren't taking the medicine. Therefore, I don't think that's the greed. But we always go for the higher examples. The ego, the greed, we find the higher examples and then try to emulate that. So we be there or tomorrow is broken in. So we just go to bed in meditation. Waking up tomorrow, very special day. Trying to catch up with greater attentiveness and more spiritual blessings. For your holy experience here that you're coming to this so charged to require certain blessings and potency to be able to deliver to us, be able to reflect more on the spiritual connection that you have, and take your involvement and associating with the spiritual team. By the next 2 days, all you should all know each other. Don't wait for somebody to introduce himself to you or make himself available to you. Be free to make yourself available. And any association you make, friends, or relationships, follow them too, you know. Right? With the people when you're back at home, they're in touch with them. Try to really reflect on, you know, one of the sannyasis and gurus who've been speaking. Many, many years of devotional service and experience that many of them have. So they're sharing their realization. Good chance to do some service this year. Someone's asking you to do something, you need to try to. Constantly thinking to them. But if you can keep them journal while you're here, so you can be able to reflect back on them a lot better. And realize that most of you maybe will get sick, it's beautiful. Sick means simple thoughts and simple actions being processed. Especially when you're going to be done. Be very careful because you make an offense. It's very fascinating. But we're always in a constant that we're offensive, then we will not be so. We're in a constant being afraid, sensitive, then we'll be next to us, lacking. tell his wife that somebody gets sick. You should care take for each other. Don't just think that the person will be okay. You know, you're going to take care of these guys at home first. You're going to save the world. And then, a better way to do it. And God's perfect. And then becomes an intangible part of you. Wherever you go. What is it telling me today in the workshop? Being in some way that I was very happy at some of the contribution that I devoted to me. And the workshop leader was very happy to go to me. And I thought that soon as you want, you did the job you want. One of the leaders in the lodge has been asked. Our bodies will be able to come visit and do some seminars and community building discussion with the community. The oldest Prabhupada community in the whole world, largest collection of devotees will come from the temple. And here is young devotees and the community and ask them to come. Good. If we can do that and know that we are now, then we can become more sharp and can become easier. From the voice of the community, you remember your name, but from the voice of the community. There's a man like Father who has encouraged me. What is the plan to do something? The plan to take advantage of. But I know how little, I know how much more you can do. But she's given a lot of fear. What do you realize? She's given me to use it a lot more. Why our body is strong, be fixed. Most important is caring. That's the commitment to be caring. And then you have to work very strong on ego, self-centeredness. You work on that, you naturally become more powerful. Krishna will give you more service than you can handle, more opportunity than you can get, than you ever get, more realization than you understand. If it is too self-centered, then we close our attention. If you haven't been doing it already, then these past few days, think each day out. Begin every day, end of the day. Especially end of the day. Just try to reflect on what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you heard, what you understand. If you're keeping yourself steady. Or you're getting too distracted by external environment. Remind yourself of the spiritual place. Now you're trying to sort of absorb, trying to bathe in that spiritual environment. The calm down the charge of divine grace, if you look around the Swami, look apart. Sometimes one takes advantage of the environment. And when you go back to your station, you go back with accelerated consciousness. It's like many people get sick when they come to the Dham. It's purifying. Because especially when you go to, even more so in Vrindavan, very likely you get sick. Some people get very, very sick. If you make aparads in the Dham, you can get extremely sick. Sometimes it can become chronic. Sickness can carry you for the rest of your life. So we are in an environment where you can, whatever you do, it is more expedient and it has more effect. I mean, whatever you do that is good, you will get more benefit than you would normally. You're chanting around with these holy dhammas, there is more benefit, more blessings is there, more potency. You're arguing with somebody, you're in some type of material consciousness, much worse, the effects of it is many, many times worse. What happens in the Dham is that you often get immediate reactions. Especially when we go to Vrindavan. Mayapur is more merciful. You can get immediate reactions for whatever is there. So I'm hoping that
as you've all been here, you've been trying to hear attentively. You've been trying to chant more attentively than even you normally do. You're trying to be more careful in how you associate amongst yourself, associate with other devotees. You've been more careful to look and listen to the noise in your mind, to check any noise that there is not any vibrations, any sound, any reflections. It's not about high-level service. If you've been doing that, then when you leave here, you're going to feel a surcharge in consciousness, greater understanding. If you didn't, when you leave here, you're going to feel, all right, so what? So I went to India, I saw this place and that place, I met these people, all so what? Or you're already in a mindset of qualifying. The interesting thing happens, and you've all experienced some of this already. When you come into such an environment, you find yourself going through different mind shifts. Some days and some moments you feel very enthused about being a devotee. You feel very excited. You feel very positive. And other times you're completely pretending because you feel totally miserable inside and you're trying to hide it, but you feel totally miserable. Because the sadhu sangha, especially in this kind of environment, it brings out and exposes what you really are. So I want you all to be reflecting back your first day to today, and you look and you see the kind, you kind of try to take inventory of how you've been thinking and what you've been perceiving, how you've been processing. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to tell you something about yourself. You can't hide as easy in these kind of environments. But you see, sometimes your mind is looking around and trying to evaluate devotees. Sometimes your mind is thinking, oh, I should have, why did I come? I should have been here, I should have been there. Sometimes your mind is fault finding. All of these kinds of things. If that's been basically where your mind is at, you have a lot of work to do, which is practically all of you. Because I know how your mind is thinking. When you're in these kind of environments, also gives you a chance to try to appreciate so many different devotees, different types of devotional service, so many different places in the world. Gives you a chance to see the vastness of the transcendental family. It also gives you a chance to see the difference between the reality or the ultimate goals that we're trying to attain and the present practice. And so in many, many ways our practice needs a lot of work to come up to the actual reality. If while you've been in these environments, you felt anything other than feeling very humble and eager, this is what you should basically feel. You should feel eager, you should feel humble, and you should feel unworthy. If you felt anything other than that, then everything else that you categorize is mine. You're feeling, oh, this little place, this little dirty place, this little village, this little thing, this little thing. Why this problem? Why that problem? It means you're seeing the problem so much outside of yourself. The Dhamma is a place for self-investigation, purification, and a chance to become, become fully spiritualized, surcharged. And as we do, then the Dhamma begins to unfold for us. And as we do, then the books and things we've read before, and we begin to connect with what we read, what we visit, and begin to experience things beyond our normal sensory perception. See, Krishna is a famous trickster also. He's Yogeshwara, he's a supreme mystic. And so he arranges to cover himself from those who are not approaching with sufficient love and devotion. So sometimes people even come and they visit the Holy Dhamma, they go back and they bloop. Because they have so much contamination, when you have to look at themselves, instead of looking at themselves, then they decide to not operate on themselves, and therefore in order to maintain that kind of mindset, they really have to go outside of devotion to maintain that kind of that type of mindset. It's like when we have marathons sometimes, it's going to be very purifying, but sometimes it has a way. The devotee is not attentive, it has a way to blow the devotee out. So you should be processing what's going on in your consciousness every day, what you're hearing. At the end of the day, you monitor what you've learned. what you've learned in general about the society, about the movement, what you've learned about yourself. And you see how you're going to use that in order to be a better devotee. It all starts from your immediate environment. First thing is that you should all, by now, be knowing each other. It starts first in your immediate environment. You should all have met some friends, some people to associate that you know, that you'll be writing to and in touch with. That is practical. That should be an obvious. You didn't just spend all the money to come all the way here so far just to clap hands and then go back and business as usual, or just to be some type of spiritual tourist. But the idea is that you came to work on yourself, try to understand more about what you are connected with, and to try to appreciate more the bhakti that's going on in different corners of the world. And if you've done that, then each day you will have a feeling of goodness, a feeling of well-being. If you don't, then you'll carry all kind of inner turmoil, trying to process and wonder what is going on with you, because you will not feel, natural, you will not feel enlivened about what you're experiencing. When we go on these parikrams, we go to the holy dhams, for instance, visit places, you're walking right into transcendental force field. I said the other day when we were visiting, you know, the yoga pits, so there was a mean truth. Lord Caitanya was born. He took birth when he came into this material world. So that's the same mean truth. So not only are you hearing about the pastime and seeing it, but being able to enter into, without being conscious of it, being able to get some contact with the surcharged bhakti that has been permeating in those environments. So one of the reasons why sacred pilgrimage places are important, they're important because Lord's pastime, or his pure devotees, have had pastimes there. And we know that what a pure devotee uses, touches, associates with, if a pure devotee uses something, that becomes what is called tadilya. It is blessed because it is some of the pure devotee's love and consciousness goes into that, so it becomes surcharged. So in such places where such souls have circulated, have been in those environments, then they are surcharged. That's why you see people come and they touch the ground and they roll in the dust sometimes and offer obeisances, because they're having some understanding that this is holy. That's what it is. And we benefit by something, by the involvement, but also according to the degree of clarity of understanding. When you do something, when you are connected with something powerful, benefit is there. But the more that you have knowledge of that and appreciation, then the more the potency is. Because you know the other side, I've already said. And where you don't understand it or deal with it improperly, then there is some, you know, there is some penalty. So I mainly wanted to see if there's some questions that if you may have had during these, as you, you know, some of you have had all kind of unusual experiences as you've been here. I hope you've been talking to a lot of people and listening close to the classes. So many sannyasis, gurus are giving the Bhagavatam classes. Especially those going to the parikram every day, you hear 5, 6, 7 different classes, different speakers. So you may have some questions. Because I've been bouncing here and there, you know, I haven't been able to force to be together to have much discussions. But Prabhupada wanted, he wanted GBC men to first to think internationally, or think globally. This is the makeup. What Prabhupada wanted the GBC to be. We were to think internationally first, not that we think our zone, my devotee, my disciple first. We were to think about the world, and then we think about how what we do complements that. So we shouldn't get into some kind of sectarian consciousness that my guru, yes, we do have a particular alignment, but our alignment is that we are part of a vast Vaishnava family. So it's a big, big, extended family. Otherwise, we even get even more sectarian. We think, so my guru, American, or my guru African or my guru this, that. This is all material consciousness. Ultimately, Lanijananda is guru. And every mentor is somehow just trying to be a assistant, assisting in trying to help Lanijananda. So in that sense, guru is one. And that guru's duty is somehow to try to encourage us for Krishna. So there are different ways of doing that. And everything has personality. So personality is there. But the idea is that guru is a catalyst to help us to try to love God. So we have a particular alignment, but we should never be thinking, so this is my guru and that's his guru and her guru, and have no respect for other spiritual authorities. The idea is that you treat guests always with the most utmost care, and you treat any other guru at least as good, or if not better, than you treat your spiritual master. That is proper. Not that I do something for my guru and I don't have time. I'm not concerned about others. No. The proper family, so relationships are there. You have grandfather, you have father, you have uncles, you have aunties. And when the bhakti is mature, then it's natural that you're carrying that love and affection. It's not that it's something that sectarian is here, there, there. If it's with you and it's mature, then it's constant, it's consistent in that sense. So, we can address, see if you have some questions. But before that, I want to give you one assignment. Now, tomorrow is Gaurapurnima. So tomorrow, it's like we have Janmashtami, when Krishna appears in this world. So tomorrow is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearance. It's his appearance day, birthday. So this is really our in one sense, this is our new year, so to speak. We say Janmashtami. We have many new years. We have January 1st, we have Janmashtami, we have Gaurapurnima. But in one sense, this is even more so our new year. So, if some of you can today, if not tomorrow, we want you to spend some time. And you just write a letter. And you address that letter to Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And you write and you emphasize three things in your own way, in your own expressions. But you thank them for somehow allowing you to come to be a part of this Mayapur experience. And they have had their pastimes, bringing some aspect of the spiritual world into the material arena. The way to open up doors for the conditioned soul to escape. And then you evaluate your consciousness and your experiences since you've been here. And you offer that to them. And then you include some points in your own way about from your experience how you're going to use this now in your Krishna conscious development as you go back to your station. If we take our experiences in devotional service, what it say when we come to the Holy Dance, we take things for granted, we will get little benefit. But if we're very attentive, we can maximize the benefit. It would have been nice if I had this conversation with somebody before you came, so you could have tried to take more, but if you've been listening to me regularly, properly, then you've already been in the consciousness of trying to take inventory every day. You hear me use this word constantly. Every single morning, especially every single night, I look at what I did, what I thought during that day, pray to Prabhupada to be able to say something, do something that will be a sufficient, pleasing offering to him. Every day I'm speaking someplace. It's not that I'm just, now I'm here and I'm going to use my mind and just try to intellectualize and speak something. No. To say something that will be a proper offering to my guru. If I'm a proper disciple, then I'm thinking my words and my desires and aspirations to the service of my Guru, therefore, and to offer it as he would want the offering to, you know, to be received. We just do things. You know, you look at yourselves, you look at what you said in the meetings, in the discussions, what you've been saying one-on-one, what you've been doing. You have to think, now, is this what that has been pleasing to my spiritual master? Is this in the mode of what Guru would want? And if you haven't been thinking that way, you've just been talking, then this is first-class neophyte. You're just trying to work things out yourself. You're first-class neophyte. Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful science. It's ways how to get maximum value of that science. So I don't really know my schedule when I get back. Especially where there's our communities, many devotees, even a little while ago, I was talking to devotees from France. They had asked me earlier about being their co-DVC. I turned down all official other positions. But I do want to visit a lot of other places. But it doesn't make any sense if I'm visiting places. And in some of the major places I started, devotees and I keep those places strong. Keep those places very strong and make them some type of model so that it can be some source of inspiration. Otherwise, we're playing games with the devotional process. So those three basic points we'd like devotees to reflect on. You think about it tonight and tomorrow, there's fast. Sometime. And there will be several things going on. There will be initiations. I called Kevin and them back. I was going to arrange initiation tomorrow, but now I'm thinking not to do it. I want to wait until the devotees consolidate their devotional understanding a little better. But Dayananda sent me a message and asked that we wait. So we have to honor that. So we'll have initiations in Givinagri at some point when I come back, several other devotees as well. But it's also good that you're here, because for the Skorpanima, this is the place to be. And also good for you, both of you have a chance to meet some of the other devotees that you haven't met. So tomorrow they'll be announcing after Tulsi what the program will be. But do realize that by it being Gopranima, there will be special blessings available in the atmosphere. And if you can intensify your consciousness, you can be able to catch up on some of those blessings. We're in the Holy Dham and had a very, very special time on top of that. See, one has to have loyalty, has to have greed. That material greed where we push everybody else out of the way, get something for ourselves. The devotee has to have a greed of selflessness, a greed of looking for service, a greed for looking at what one is having as improper and how to be free of that. Constant investigation and inventory. Not that you just kind of, mechanically do things. It's dangerous when you just mechanically do things. Your mind will be going very fast in the wrong direction. So, if we have some questions, we can try to take a few of your questions. Varaham. So, Tom, you want to close that door? Maybe turn the fan off. I think the fan is getting noisy. Turn the fan off a little while to see.
And after some computer,
you have camera. You can.
So computer service. I have the software that
can
complete the
issue. That I have
expression
for West Africa. Okay. But I was asking about if he can get a copy of the calendar before he goes. Especially in West African standards, it's very difficult. The mail system takes long. So as far as saying you have your computer here?
I'm a computer. I can get a minute from there.
So you're saying he can have a calendar printed out? Because we actually start a new year on our calendar from tomorrow. So we have all the holidays and the codices. Any other questions? The other day when you did the Vyasa Pooch print out for me, the tablet needs to see it on the computer. Can you find it for me? Yeah. She's gonna find it for you on the computer now, tablet. First, cleanliness is very important. No question about that. It helps our consciousness. It helps. A lack of it can cause sickness and disease as well. And we always should try to take nice care. We don't have to be opulent, but we should try to keep whatever we have clean. But people have different standards about cleanliness. And obviously when many, many people are together, it's a lot more difficult to keep things clean, because first you have the cleaners and then you have the individual people who are dealing with the environment, and for someone may feel comfortable in one type of environment, someone not. But I'm concerned whether or not, in your mind, you ever thought about asking to help, to make something clean. I'm wondering that, did it ever come across your mind to think, well, maybe I can ask if I can help to clean up here, or if I can do this or do that, something of that nature. I hope that came to your mind, or I hope you asked like that. But if you didn't, then that's a problem. There's two problems. The problem is that sometimes things are dirty in some environments. But the problem is also to what degree that you decide to involve yourself in order to make a difference. Because we also learn from examples. So if we see something is dirty or something is like that, then we can do something to help. Or if more people are sensitive, then less and less is an environment of that nature, but the environment becomes cleaner because one people become sensitive to it. So we can volunteer our help. We can also realize that there's so many people that in general can be difficult. Like maybe some of the bathrooms sometimes. Although they seem to clean them a couple times a day, but still, you know, it's so many people. So it's a little bit like going out camping or something. You just automatically expect that you're going to have certain inconveniences, that you're ready to tolerate those inconveniences for the experience that you're trying to get. So that doesn't in any way suggest that one should overlook situations that are not clean. No, we should be sensitive to cleanliness. It's important. But if there's a way we can help, we should try. If not, then we should try our best in whatever environment we're in to see that things are kept clean. That aspect is there, but she's talking more in terms of personal things that devotees are using, our own environment. So I'm asking you, did it come in your mind ever to offer your services to help clean?
Did you have in your mind to offer about the beach? But then it seemed to come to the beach. And I just observing how the cleaning took place one day, I was kind of shocked because there are things from days and long teaching to clean off the tops of the little tables, the country tables where they put the grand plates. And the young boy, he was, you know, wiping it off with his teaching. But then he was walking behind it with his chair too. And I was, you know, really kind of looking at that. You know, I had that.
So you have great understanding. Anyone else have a question? Can you tell me? Internal, but internal based on instructions. Instructions was that when they closed Prabhupada to do the dressing, they would go for a walk. So if you'd been attentive to that, then you would have known that it was time for going on a walk. So the instructions of Guru is what we internalize. It's those instructions that we live with, whether we're physically with the spiritual master, in this environment, that environment, or whether the spiritual master is gone, or whether we go, even off the physical body. But it's those instructions that's internal. So, in such case, you missed us because the instructions that were passed around is that of those who would like to come with us for a japa walk, that when you start dressing properly, when you push the curtain in, and it varies sometimes by a quarter, I think, a quarter to seven or so, sometimes a little earlier, then that's when we walk out. But your other point is good. In Washington, you're able to talk to one or two devotees to get some clarification on certain things. But you always have to, or you, not you, but anyone, you should evaluate things based on the Shastra. So we talk with others, and we get some clarification to help us to understand Shastra and Guru. So we don't take Guru only, we don't take Shastra only, we don't take Sadhu. But the Shastra is the center that brings it together. Otherwise, it gets into personality. We relate to Guru based on personality, or we relate sentimentally, other devotees based on personality. We're always here, but sometimes someone is in the low mode, sometimes in a better mode. We have to be able to get the nectar wherever it is. At the same time, we have to be careful and make sure that it is a nectar, that it is proper instructions. Anyone else? The link between?
Myself and I do.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to your instruction.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my prayer, I can't even know when you are going for a walk. I don't know faithful. And I just find myself around without any link.
Mm-hmm.
And I just out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for the one who is a brother who is in the room and that is the so I would believe that your instruction should always out so that the particular will be seen at all.
So let's evaluate that. That's your problem and it's Chanakya's problem. Chanakya's problem because he's staying with you. He should inform you. It's your problem because you haven't taken more time to ask him. You can't wait for people to tell you things, you should also ask. But it's his problem and that he should have informed you. The day when we were on the walk, I particularly asked him, I said, so have you been informing Vrindavana? He told me yes. So it's your problem that you should inquire, but it's also his problem that he should have informed you. Not that we have to hear only from Guru and we have no time to hear from anybody else or appreciate anybody else. We hear from Guru how to become enlivened to associate amongst ourselves. We hear from Guru how to serve community better. We get inspiration from Guru how to relate to each other better. So therefore, we have to, as I said, to have that spiritual greediness. So we to be informed, but we have to also inquire. And then the older devotees, they should be more tentative in trying to provide the care and information for others also. So make sure that he informs you. Chanakya Shinachi should be informing you, but you should also be asked. You explain to me what you think Guru Aparad is. I'd like you to explain to me.
I'm sorry?
I would like you to explain to me what you think Guru Aparad is.
Well, for myself, I know being when I was sitting for prayer, I saw the dove that I had felt in many ways that I tried to take you in too much person. And I know that if I try to resist you, I'm going to be too personal. And I took for granted. And I realized for myself the soul, the church of anything that you said is that I really did.
Because you serve with devotion, Krishna rewarded you. To speak like that and to try to understand better how to do what is right is a state of advancement or a sign of advancement. To think, oh, so I was serving my guru, I had a chance to serve my guru, I did this, that was wonderful. On top of it, I have just experienced that experience. But to think that I had a chance to serve my guru, and I should have served better, I should have been more attentive, I wish I would have tried to be more conscientious. That is the right conscience. So, we take inventory to see, of course, the next chance we have, how to do better. But that is the right conscience. And because you did your best, see, Krishna and Guru is not concerned with the material expertise, not necessarily, but concerned about the consciousness and the intent. Sometimes a devotee can do something very expert and have complete self-centered or close-up consciousness and be very proud. And that's not really devotion. Because Krishna doesn't need anything. But when we do something and we really want to do our best and we feel bad that we didn't do as good as we should have, but we really tried our best, then Krishna reveals to us. So yes, some of your service was sloppy. Sometimes there was insensitiveness, but the basic general desire was to do the right thing. And so the resultant was that the stronger aspect was to do the right thing, and therefore you are blessed. So we have many desires. Krishna responds to the aggregate, or the way they add up. They add up to something strong, something that's stronger than the other. So
So what it adds up to, that's what Krishna is from. There are many desires for sense gratification, but if our stronger desire is for devotion, Krishna will accommodate. See, in Kali Yuga, it's so different. In Kali Yuga, when you think something improper, when you speak improper, when you act improper, it's all counted on you, complete across the board. But in Kali Yuga, we think so many crazy things because our minds are so ridiculous, the environment is so bombarding. So Krishna doesn't hold us accountable for the crazy things we think. But we always warn everyone, and it's warned in the scriptures, because if we are comfortable with the crazy things we think, then we'll start thinking crazy and acting crazy. But the mind will think crazy. But then if the desire is strong enough not to do the wrong thing, even though the mind will think crazy, we'll not act upon it. Krishna will guide us. So, the Guru Apavad, as you said, is the situation where we are thinking that Guru is just a personality, a person, physical body. The idea is that it's Krishna, it's all about Krishna, and Krishna can use whatever he wants to help to carry his mail. The master is to act as the postman. The idea that he's not supposed to open the mail and tamper it and abuse it, that he's supposed to use it, give it as his commission to distribute it, to receive it as his commission to receive it. It's like I was giving an example how each day I conscientiously, not just think about it, but I consciously take some time out and make some prayer to my spiritual master that what I say, that I will say, what will be pleasing to him. I think I'm just going all around and saying this here, making this feature, this class, this thing, this thing here, and I'm just relying on my intelligence. Very dangerous. But the idea is you have servants, and I want you to say something to increase the service and consciousness and service attitude to be some kind of instrument. So in our activities, whether you were in a subcommittee, whether you were walking, talking to each other, whether you were listening to this class, that lecture, the question is how much in your mind were you thinking in terms of you doing this, how much were you thinking that I am acting as a medium for my guru, and therefore I want to receive this, I can use this, I want to say this, and this, so this can be offered in this way, in this way, in this way. There's a science about how to take more advantage of how to advance. Find like what? Visit it. Yes. Yes.
Sometimes we never connect to what is the best situation because
Nice question. Yeah, basically we're offensive because we're unaware. And so that's some offense. Some offense even in just chanting and looking at the deities because we're unaware. We're still thinking the deity is marble or grass. So some offensiveness is there. But see, the major difference is that if the offense, David is Maharaj Ki. The difference is, if we make the offense, and we don't have compunction or regret, so we can make some offenses unconsciously. And the offense is there, but Krishna is aware of the intent and of the consciousness. That's why we should regularly offer our obeisances asking to be forgiven for offenses. It's like whenever Pujari goes on the altar, before Pujari is to make prayer to be forgiven for any offenses, asking for blessings to be able to do the service, and after coming off, asking to be forgiven for any offenses. So it's good if we have that meditation in general. We pray to be of proper service for our Guru, and then we conclude our days in the spirit of begging to be forgiven for any offenses that we committed, consciously or unconsciously. And if we look close, we don't have to study it too deeply because we can see some areas that we've made offenses. Krishna will show us. The desire is there to grow, Krishna will show us what is intervening with our growth. Like in Kevin's case, because the desire is to grow, he's doing some things in wrong unconsciously, but Krishna is showing him because the desire is there. But if we're not trying to be more meticulous, then Krishna will not show us because the desire will not be. So now that we have to really concentrate on every offense, by making Nama offense now, by making Dhamma offense, by making Vaishnava aparad, by making Guru aparad, by making Seva aparad. And our whole day is we're just afraid to do anything because of aparad. But we realize that in general I'm an offensive person and I'm in a contaminated state being this physical world and physical body. It's been going on for many, many lifetimes. But now somehow when we try to be more appreciative, and I want to constantly beg for forgiveness. Because I know I'm not okay, because if I was okay, then I would be free of mature desires. Any other question? Yesterday, you must have missed it, but yesterday we gave out awards. And second in the world was Mayapur in distributing the books. So I don't know where you were that you didn't hear that. But we gave out awards for a couple of hours. And the Mayapur devotees, it was the second biggest in the whole world for distribution. And then as we were giving out awards to individuals, they got so many awards for the, you know, giving up in the largest number of Bhagavatam sets, number of books, I mean, thousands and thousands of each devotee that they distributed. So you have many different types of services here. You have those who are, you know, four-time distributors, and not only are they distributing, but they're only second to the CIS, some of the Russian countries. That's number one.
They're beating in France and England and Germany and all these other places. And then you have also devotees who are some people who are farming. And you have those who are doing beauty service. In other words, it's already becoming like a city. There's all different types of service. But it's a good sign that here we are in a village, in a rural community, but these devotees are like top, the second in the whole world. Some of you have been to the Gurukul. You've seen what the Guru has. So that means that preaching going on all over. Devotees are constantly traveling, visiting different villages, visiting different places. And they go back and visit again. And even when they're not there, programs are still going on. This nucleus, they go out, they visit, and then some of those people later become devotees. Some become full-time devotees. Or they become congregational supporters. Anyone else? Actually answer her question. You answer her question. Let's see your question over again. Say it louder.
Sometimes you think that let me engage this pastor to do this. With understanding that it's not because the back is small and because I cannot do this. Or you're thinking that instead of him to stay in that direction, he may not know how to engage his mind more than you, he's like a senior somewhere. And then how to engage the person or the pastor, the junior one, to do much of the study so that he can get more benefits. Because in most cases, if you understand more of the benefits of services, and then you are very expert in doing them, and then you go on doing those services, you see that you're not even given that opportunity to do that. I mean, I think that you are not really putting them in. So spiritual grace is based on selflessness.
Interesting point. Based on selflessness. And it can vary according to service, according to the environment. Some cases, spiritual greed is to jump forth and do something yourself. Some cases, it's to let somebody else do. some cases is to show an example. It can really vary. But the idea of the basic platform should be on selflessness. It's like a difference in the material situation. The material situation of greed is that you want your thing for you fulfill your desires when you want, how you want, etc. But the spiritual greed is also intenseness. But it's intenseness about trying how to become a servant, how to become selfless. It's intense about how to try to become more compassionate and more loving. So in that effort, sometimes it means to do more yourself. Sometimes it means to make a greater environment for others to do. Sometimes it means to do and to show some example. So it's not just the idea of greed, of what I want for myself, I'm going to be greedy for that, for my sense gratification. But it's the idea of greed based on what it means to be eager to become more Krishna conscious. If you're greedy, you're hungry, you're desperate about becoming more Krishna conscious. Otherwise, somebody can feel, well, I'm very eager to hear my guru, so I'm going to knock everybody else out of the way because I have to get up in front and hear. But the idea of hearing is to become more devotional. But now you're doing something undevotional with the idea that you're becoming devotional. So that's not spiritual greed. The greediness is to become more serious, more advanced, more devotional. Any other questions?
It's interesting that in the Bhagavad Gita mention that I'm very kind of wanting more. While on Harikram, one of the Maharaj did a class, and he was quoting, I don't know whether it was actually Ramayana, Nyanabhita Swarupa, both of them were speaking together. And he gave the example of when sometimes in the past, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. There were these dogs. They were coming and he was eating prasadam. And among those dogs, the dogs were all making noise, quack, 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 quack. And he said, Prabhupada said, you listen to them. The one that makes the most noise, that is the one that wants it most. And then some days, one was in front, he was making quack, 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 quack. And Prabhupada kept giving that one more. So he was giving that as an example that the spiritual greed, it was actually speaking of spiritual greed. And he said, we have to jump for it, and we have to struggle for it, and we have to make the most effort. And those who make the most effort, they get it. He was giving the example of the dog making the quack, 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 quack.
So our effort, the difference though is, of course, with Manasa, is our effort is not external, because sometimes you find the devotee is always the, you know, Jai Guru Dev, O Guru Dev, is always the first one to offer obeisances, first one to Jai, 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 Jai. But then when it's your chance to do something serious, something that they're not wanting to do, then they go high. So the greed, of course, is greed in consciousness. That who is most eager, most desperate for that. And Krishna will, you know, will reciprocate. But it's never based on this external. It's based on the real sense of hunger there. So when there's great hunger, greater the hunger, the more Krishna is there to fulfill the actual need. Greater the hunger, the more Krishna uses Guru to feed that particular. Anyone else?
I think my question is still about your position, because I'm one of the people that we are used to be thinking about, and so often there
and not only you. Everybody in the room.
And I, the installation of the D is that doesn't happen, and I always kind of pull back when there's a big time. But I was feeling. Then I got yesterday, it was like, I'm trying to stay still. But it was really good because I got to see a lot of feeling to work on. And I guess I wanted to ask you a little bit how to speak about purification, but also, I'd rather be purified here than back in the material world, because even though I'm going to sit here, it's really wonderful. So how can we keep that? You know, because when I came here, I don't feel like I was eager to run, get everything I could, like I was just come over. But here, it's so easy because there's so many different devotees and so many advanced devotees. It's really without even trying. And I guess, I need to know what I need to do so that when I go back, I will really feel like what the Lord is doing.
Well, just as you're doing now, one way that Mayapur Sankirtan, this is one of the top Sankirtan devotees in the world. We had one of the big prizes yesterday. We can keep these experiences with us. Just like when something good happens to you, whether you're here or in another environment also, we can kind of relive those moments by reflecting on them, reflecting on the experience, the realization, so that it stays fresh in the mind. Because again, the nature of the mind and the body, it experiences duality. And so there are times when we find that we are very enthusiastic, and there are times when we are less enthusiastic, and there are sometimes when we're just, you know, struggling like anything. This is also why regulation is important. When you're regulated, and even when those shifts take place, they don't bother you so much because you've already put yourself in certain patterns to do various things, and then you move to those lower airs because you have the regulation. The devotees are not regulated, and they get really swept up by whatever the modes that they're experiencing at that time, or whatever the environment is. When we're finding some lower airs or lower modes, we look at it and realize we're going to pass through it. We keep on doing necessary things. We pass straight through it. So just try to keep those, you know, some of the lectures you heard, try to remember some of the points, some of the places you went that were very inspiring, some of the devotees you met that were very inspiring. Try to, you know, remember these things. And if possible, you know, you change, you know, addresses, telephone numbers, fax numbers, stay in touch. You know, anyone? Turn the mic. Yeah, like it's happening already. Just like now, where the Madeline and them are working. And then Linda, also in Kevin. So the 22nd Avenue Project in New York City is just a small storefront, not even as big as this room here, where Prabhupada started the movement in America. So that's a pilgrimage place. And devotees come from all over the world. They come to visit. And they're in Amish. See the simple environment of, you know, Prabhupada's, you know, start. And there are different temples where Prabhupada involved the deity, so many things. So that question is also answering your first part, because yes, some of the initial pastimes have happened here. But now look how Srila Prabhupada took the spirit of Vrindavan and Mayapur. Or he took the deities and he installed the deities, or asked the deity for the deities to be installed all over the world. So this way we are bringing Krishna to everybody. It's like now, okay, so Srivast is building a beautiful temple in Ghana. So now the temple is being built and deities will be there. And so even though people have not come to Vrindavan or to Jagannath Puri to see Jagannath or to see Krishna in Vrindavan, but by coming to the temple, they will be able to be blessed by the Acharya Vigraha or by the presence of the Lord. See, when we're talking about Dham Aparad, where the actual pastime happens, of course, that's more surcharge. But where the temple is, as you've heard me many times say, the temple is not ordinary, it's an embassy. Embassies have special... they're in special categories, even though they're in another city or it's a building, but it's special. So temple is like this. These temples are embassies. Embassies for the spiritual world, embassies for the holy pilgrimage place. So now you get a chance to look more at the source of some of the heartbeat of what's responsible for the embassies. But still, we don't really see it because of our material vision. Or at least we're associating with it. And then when you go back, it's like now, when you go back, you'll feel even more a part of a spiritual, cultural, obviously, heritage. When you see deities now, and temple idea, you take, you know, Chinamrita, you'll be reflecting back more how when you visit all of these temples and places, and you're on Parikram, and you'll be thinking about this a little more. Each thing will have a little more significance to you. So that is a manifestation of what is with the greatness. This will help you to appreciate even more how great Srila Prabhupada was, or how great he is, of what he took and just sprinkled it all over the world and asked young men and women to somehow to get it going, to maintain it, to let it happen.
So there was one story of one time you some disciples of Bhaktivinoda, they went here in Calcutta, where my mother was from, the particular pastime, and the beautiful teacher of Verma from Brazil. So this is the way they went to the Dashi, and then they went back to Bhaktivinoda, and they transformed Bhaktivinoda to the girls, to the Dashi from Mahaprabhu. And then Bhaktivinoda has them that you mean the Dashi from Mahaprabhu? And they say, yes. And he answered them that you mean you actually have the Dashi from Mahaprabhu. And then they realized, and then they say, actually, we saw Mahaprabhu's motive the way other people saw Mahaprabhu's motive. But maybe we hope that see what the person and just look at the form. So they were implied that you don't go to the pilgrimage, because you see that everyone is coming there. That you actually see through the eye of the Guru. Because the Guru reveals the place of pilgrimage, the Guru reveals the form of the Lord.
Yeah, we see with our eyes, we see certain things. But the devotee really sees through the ears. We understand better as we hear from authorized sources than we're able to appreciate. Otherwise, it's just like being a tourist. You're just going here, going there, going there. Sometimes it happens before you go. And then they see, then they go home. They haven't really seen, haven't really heard anything. They've just been looking at the surface. We don't want to keep it too late. Let me a few more of this stuff. One of our...
I want to go back to the top.
Speak a little loud. You're talking
about variety of ways of demonstrate through the degrees
never learn if you think I'm not around. The point is that when you've had the basic instructions that we want devotees to serve each other nicely, want devotees to be inspiring to each other, want devotees to remind each other about the principles, want devotees to help each other in their service. So we have some general principles to guide us. And then we do our best. You make some mistakes, that may be there sometimes. But we have some general principles. So we make some decisions, we think, so what is going to bring about the greater Krishna consciousness? What action will bring about the greater consciousness? We try to process it. When we don't know, then we just reflect and we try our best. And we approach the situation with a sense of humility and we go forward. One thing we always know is that we never break principles or encourage other people to break principles. Other thing we know is that we're always supposed to try to be loving, selfless, and to try to be a catalyst that reminds ourselves, reminds others, to enthusiastically to engage in Krishna consciousness. We see how we can say or do something. It's going to encourage that person to become Krishna conscious. It's going to help us to set an example of how to become. If we make it so difficult, then it will be difficult. We know the basic thing, and then we'll just try. Based on the basic. Guru doesn't have to be around much. Prabhupada only saw his spiritual master less than a dozen times. We don't have to be around the Guru so much. There are many devotees, who are Prabhupada disciples, who never once saw Prabhupada spiritually. But then are they supposed to be taking every decision on what they're going to do? Some devotees only saw him one or two times. And they were just, you know, initiated the fact. There's sannyasis around him, you see, who never physically spoke to Prabhupada. And they are mostly leaders of the movement. So we get spoiled, you know. We're around doing so much, we just get spoiled. We have to hear certain things and we should listen. Lord Caitanya talked to Sanatana Goswami for about 10 days, gave him his message. One of us have to be physically around too much. That's a mess. We let.
Several times, because Maharaj had to tell us how to discover this place, how to discover a precise group of devotees, we have to discover our own Lord and Lord. And in fact, he did mention that there are some areas they have not been discovered. And kind of funny to me that.
That it's taking what?
I mean,
it's probably that it takes devotees to have to discover.
Yeah, just come to devotees. And it's a positive to me because they're supposed to have been there and they're supposed to have been of the same relevance to the people that are living around this place. How come when one is covering them?
Okay. We'll take Bhagavatam's question, one more question, and then we're going to stop tonight. So, it shows the tremendous empowerment that Srila Prabhupada is carrying. That many of these great sacred places, even great scriptures, have been somewhat lost to the public. Some cases because as some of the acharyas left the planet, then their disciples started quarreling amongst themselves or minimizing situations. And certain things then are no longer so available. And so, it's like even now, we have Prabhupada set up a trust, which I mentioned when we have Bhaktisiddhanta Samadhi. I mentioned how Prabhupada set up a trust before he left the planet, where he wanted ISKCON leaders to help to renovate certain Vaishnava temples and protect certain Vaishnava literature, even though it's not our movement per se, but he wanted us to do that in order to keep these sacred things available. So it shows the tremendous empowerment that Prabhupada was carrying, that Krishna is using him to rejuvenate, revitalize, some clarifications to discover or bring out certain things that are, you know, great for him. Like his Jagannath temple that Abhiram was explaining to us the other day. A powerful joy, he had a dream, and that dream, he was told that he should turn the temple over to ISKCON. We've had a lot of different cases like that, different parts of the world. Different parts of India where we have taken charge of the situation. Very special, you know, children that the Lord has inspired, or the child may have gotten inspired, that Krishna conscious devotees should take charge.
When I used to be in the my was a little part of my life. And then, and a few other years on my own, this is very important. When you look at this, it's literally the romantic, you're kind of dead. And you got to achieve such a way from now. And so, you know, this is going to become separate from my life. And then, distraction. So, there's a lot of things you got to go out and get up to achieve something. Even then, you got to go on back in the when you discover yoga, but as a lot of the
theological. It's like you see when you go to Vrindavan, how the banks of the rivers have shifted so much. Some land erosion, the Jamuna being smaller and smaller in some areas. But it's interesting though, because as you were mentioning yourself, I think also earlier, Krishna can hide himself in some way. See, just like we mentioned sometimes how if there's too many offenses, even the deity that's been installed, the deity can leave. So if the environment becomes too offensive, then it can be, things can be hidden for some time. Or the potency can even be taken away. And then when the body of the Lord appears again, then it can be, it can be accessed again.
And we identify the causes.
a very easy way. You don't have to get into the personality, because you have all kind of persons. You have some who are ISKCON devotees, but who become deviants or who fall. We just preach the principles of what a proper devotee is supposed to do, what's the lifestyle of a proper devotee, and if someone fits those classifications, they're a proper devotee. If you don't fit those classifications, then they're not. Proper devotee is not supposed to break any principles. I suppose the eating your meat, fish your egg, gambling, taking intoxications, which is that. So whatever sect or whatever situation or whatever shade of philosophy, whatever the situation is, if he's not adhering to such, then we understand that he's not a proper person. And if he is adhering to those, then we're happy. Chanting Hare Krishna, following those things. He may not be initiated by our guru, he may not be in our zone, he may not be this or that. It doesn't matter. He's following the principles of liberation, then that is good. Okay, I'll end. But then I think you had a question for that.
Yeah, more just some realization about and also about the impact and feeling about how our relationship affects the person in the house. I realize that. Thank you.